live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Ugran and Kasparyan with you guys. A fun day, big day. Michael Cohen's going to prison. We're going to explain a little bit more about the felony committed with the President of the United States. That's a little bit later in the program. Republicans make asses of themselves in several different ways. We will also explain that, including a super fun one right in the beginning. If you miss any part of the show, make sure that you get TYT membership so you can get all of it at tyt.com/join or Cenk, either way. So I wanted to check in on where our membership drive is, because I want to remind you guys, this is just through the end of the year, so there's only 19 days left. And I want to make one other thing clear, but let's take a look at the thermometer. We haven't looked at it in a while. So we started at, I already forgot, 27,000 or so. So we're at 38,628. So the 100,000 goal is so that we could be sustainable and keep going forever and ever and ever, right? So I want to make clear that the goal bar for the end of the year is 40,000. Let's see that number one more time. It's 38,628. This is definitely doable, but we're, you know, obviously need a lot of help to still get there by the end of the year. So we've got to add, around 1,400 new members in 19 days. So tyt.com/join. I mentioned my name because we're doing the host competition. Starting to close in on Anna a little bit. Okay, so getting closer and closer. If you go to tyt.com/Cenk, I mean, there is some chance I could finish her, finish ahead of her right at the end of the whole thing. And
did
God,
you say finish her?
I did accidentally say that, didn't I?
I'm gonna finish you.
Okay. Oh my God, how angry would you be, Anna, if I passed you on the last day?
I believe in the will of the people. So I believe in democracy. And I'm not a Republican. I'm not gonna, you know, take 800 of those members and throw them away like a Republican in North Carolina would.
Yeah, that's a story later in the program.
Yeah.
All right, one more thing about that, guys.
But sign up under my name, please.
Okay, oh yeah, she gets to be cute. Okay, she
has that advantage over me. So I can be cute with the.
Okay, yeah. Let me see. Okay, go ahead, you have fine. Wait, I thought you were.
Oh, that's the party horn though. That's the party horn.
Okay, all right, how about me? Let's try me.
Okay, come on that, on face alone.
Okay. Anyways, look, guys, Amplify is part of the membership drive too. So you could buy membership for The Atlantic, Colin McEnroe on NPR, Face the Nation last week tonight. That's John Oliver's show. Face the Nation is obviously one of the big Sunday shows. Politico Morning Media. Man, I would love to get Politico. Somebody call Politico. Get them a membership. The Intercept, which would be great. Those good folks over there. Washington Post, they could usually use a progressive message as well. C-SPAN, and the list goes on. So check it out on tyt.com/amplify. Let's get this done. We've only got 19 days left, and super important for us to maintain Home of Progressives. Look, without progressive media, what would you have? 2019, 2020, who would fight back after, you know, all the different things corporate media would say about progressives? Seriously, what would happen? And that is not a good scenario where honestly, where we're not around, and I don't know who would do it. Okay, so Anna, let's do it.
But before we get to the story, actually my favorite story of the day is at the top. I also want to just quickly mention something that you had promoted on the show quite a bit yesterday. A new member of our podcast network, Mr. Hanauer, who's doing a podcast called Pitchfork Politics, I believe.
Yes, although I like the
economics
idea.
I apologize, Nick Hanauer.
Oh, what did you say?
I think I said politics.
Oh no, it's yeah, Pitchfork Economics. I thought you said Pitch Pork, which also would be appropriate.
I did, but that was a mistake. But okay, so I just want to quickly say something. I love podcasts. So when Cenk mentioned it, I immediately listened to it on my drive home from work last night. It is fantastic.
I told you.
It's so good, okay?
I told you.
please check it out. The very first episode, you know, talked about wealth inequality and the importance of wealth and income inequality in a functioning democracy. It was so good. I loved it.
And Larry Lessig's podcast about how to get money out of politics is coming too. He's a Harvard Law professor and the godfather of the money out of politics movement. So we got some killers on our podcast lineup, including the legendary Anna Kasparian.
Well, I am podcasting my show, but it's once a week. And you should check it out if you get a chance. But again, shout out to Nick Hanauer because I really enjoyed his show.
Right. Yeah. Of course, Anna's show is No Filter. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. Some members of Congress happen to be dinosaurs. And nothing made that clearer than a 3.5 hour long meeting or hearing that the House had with the CEO of Google. Now the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, remained patient throughout this hearing. And the whole point of the hearing was to discover whether or not Google has some sort of political bias, either against or in favor of Republicans. And it turned into a 3.5 hour whining session by members of Congress who also revealed that they don't really understand how the internet works. Now, I want to show you a few of the highlights. And one of those highlights included a Democrat. And she talked about, you know, how does the algorithm really work? That was her question. Take a look.
If you Google the word idiot under images, a picture of Donald Trump comes up. I just did that. How would that happen? How does search work so that would occur?
We provide search today for any time you type in a keyword. We, as Google, we have crawled, we've gone out and crawled and stored copies of billions of web pages in our index. And we take the keyword and match it against web pages and rank them based on over 200 signals. Things like relevance, freshness, popularity, how other people are using it.
So it's not some little man sitting behind the curtain figuring out what we're going to show.
We don't, you know, manually intervene on any particular search result.
So Representative Lofgren's question was a little tongue-in-cheek because Republicans feel outraged that Donald Trump's photo comes up if you Google the word idiot. And so she was trying to get the CEO to explain how the algorithm works. She's trying to explain or get him to explain that there isn't like some mischievous like person behind the scenes who's putting up pictures of Trump just to insult him.
So then the Republicans are going to do a good enough job in a second. You're going to love these videos of embarrassing themselves, humiliating themselves. But I have to confess that, like, the first time the media executives from digital media companies like Google, Facebook, etc., came to Congress, I couldn't quite believe how bad some of the questions were, and I thought, well, maybe they're thinking of something else, and they're just stating it a little bit wrong. And I mean, they've got these giant staff; they must have studied up for this, and their staff must have informed them. It's like when Donald Trump does outrageous lies; you think, well, it must be based on something. I know it's not true, but it must be based on some kernel of truth that he's doing a hyperbole around this. And then you find out, no, sometimes Donald Trump just makes up things out of whole cloth, just pulls them out of nowhere, right? Figment of his imagination. And with Republican legislators, some Democrats too, but mainly Republicans in this case, they really have no idea how the internet works. No, like it's almost unimaginable to you and me. They think that Google wants to put Donald Trump's picture under idiot, so they just go, okay. The CEO's like, all right, somebody take the picture of Donald Trump and put it under it. No, you morons, your picture should come up under idiot. Of course, that's not how it works. As he said, there's 200 different factors that go into the search algorithms. The reason that Google won the internet is because their search engine is the best by an order of magnitude. And why is it the best? Because it gives the results that people are looking for. That's why it beat all the other search engines. And so it is based on the search patterns of actual individuals. In fact, a great example was the last time around, Republicans complained, well, when you type in California Republican Party, a Nazi shows up. That's because the Nazi was leading in the California Republican Party as Senate primary. So what Google showed you the results that everybody searched for, which was in one poll, this guy who was an avowed Nazi in the Senate race in California was polling the best among Republicans. He polled at 18%. So everybody was amazed by that. And so they kept Googling California Republican Nazi, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it showed up high. And they're like, who at Google ordered us to be called Nazis? Oh, you morons.
Right. Well, look, one thing that I want people to kind of pay attention to as we show you these clips and give you some of these graphics is that, you know, this isn't a hearing meant to tackle what I think is a bigger problem. And that bigger problem is thought bubbles. Thought bubbles that keep reinforcing our preconceived notions or our opinions or our perspectives on everything, including politics. So if you're searching for or reading content that leans either to the right or left, Google's search results will keep feeding you stuff that reinforces what you already like and what you already believe. So these thought bubbles, I believe, are problematic because they lead to further division in the country. I mean, we have different perspectives and we live in different worlds because in this new digital era, we're only seeing things that Google thinks that we want to see. I argue that that is a bigger problem. Instead, this turned into a huge vanity project, an ego boosting mission for our members of Congress. And unfortunately, at the same time, they embarrass themselves by proving how little they know about how the internet works. Now, I want to give you a few more examples, okay? Now, Steve King is about to just watch the video, take a look.
I have a 7-year-old granddaughter who picked up her phone before the election, and she's playing a little game, kind of game a kid would play, and up on there pops a picture of her grandfather. And I'm not going to say into the record what kind of language was used around that picture of her grandfather, but I'd ask you, how does that show up on a 7-year-old's iPhone who's playing a kid's game?
Congressman, iPhone is made by a different company, and so, you know, I mean,
it might have been an Android. It was a hand-me-down of some kind.
I'm happy to follow up and understand the specifics. There may be an application which was being used, which had a notification, but I'm happy to understand it better and clarify it for you.
Okay.
So it's hard to hear in that video, but people in the room laughed when he's like, it's iPhone's made by a different company. Sorry, I don't also control iPhone. Okay.
I mean, this is so embarrassing. And look, I think that one of the best things that came out of this was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's reaction to how Steve King embarrassed himself during this hearing. Because Steve King is one of these right wingers who keeps dismissing AOC as if she's in over her head. She's not intelligent enough to be a member of Congress. She doesn't know enough, right? And so what did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweet in response to this? I want to share it with you because it went viral for a good reason, obvious reason. She said, Republicans, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Also Republicans. And then she shares the headline featuring Steve King mixing up iPhone as a product that Google sells.
Yeah, so first of all, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sent in a video for our special tomorrow night that is going to be 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern on what should be the progressive agenda for the next 2 years. Ro Khanna is also going to be on it. Kyle Kulinski, Jimmy Dore, Rosario Dawson, Nomiki Khan, so many others will be on tomorrow night with us right here on tyt.com/live. You should check that out for what the agenda of progressives are going to be for the next 2 years. And we're trying to do that here as Home of Progressives. Obviously, tyt.com/join to become a member and support the Home of Progressives. So now back to Steve King. I actually think that the dumber thing might be the idea that even if it was a Google product, that Google somehow is purposely serving Steve King's granddaughter things that are against Steve King. Like that, he's got way bigger fish to fry.
Right.
Right. So that's the CEO of Google. Well, you're asking him, why did something pop up on a random phone? How in the world could he possibly answer that? What are you talking about? And is the implication like, is Google trying to send my granddaughter a picture that has bad language about me? Google doesn't do that. You're so stupid. It has nothing to do with Google.
You know who sends your granddaughter negative PR or negative publications, negative anything about you? You do. on a daily basis with your white supremacy, with your Nazi-like comments. I mean, Steve King, all of these lawmakers who are complaining about Google are complaining about articles that are being published about them that shines a negative light on some of the things that they've done and said. Then don't do and say those negative things. I mean, they can't believe that there are negative articles about them online, and they only want the positive stuff to come up. So there's more though. There's Representative Steve Chabot, he's a Republican from Ohio, and he actually complained he had to go deep into his search results to find any positive articles about the Republican effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Yeah, well, I'm gonna show you that interaction. Let's take a look at that.
Republicans in the House passed legislation to repeal and replace Obamacare. Our bill was called the American Health Care Act, or the AHCA. When I was writing my blog about that, I Googled American Health Care Act, and virtually every article was an attack on our bill. Article after article alleging that our bill would result in millions and millions of people losing the great care that they were supposedly getting under Obamacare. I would argue that was completely false. Let me give you a second example. The Republican tax cut bill was passed about a year ago, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, same story. Article after article attacking the Republican tax cut plan, alleging the tax cuts only went to the rich. Now, I know Google's attitude, the algorithm made us do it, but I don't know that I buy that.
So what's your counter theory? That Google is going around in every bill and every proposal, be like, move the articles that favor Democrats up, move the ones that don't favor Republicans down, and jeopardize billions upon billions of dollars because of a tiny little political agenda. I mean, it's not how Google works. They're so stupid. But I realize in the middle of his statement why they are thinking the way that they do. Like,
they have no self-awareness, Cenk. Like, no self-awareness. Like, he's perplexed that he's having a difficult time finding positive reinforcement for their efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. I used to think that they knew what the people wanted, but they just ignored it. But no, they think that most Americans want to just outright repeal the Affordable Care Act. Like, he's shocked that there's negative commentary about that online. Yeah. And it's harder to find positive commentary about it.
But there is almost no positive thing to say about a $1.9 trillion tax cut for the rich that has not helped the economy, that has created a huge hole in the deficit. And so I figured out why they're thinking this way. I mean, yes, they don't understand the internet. Yes, Anna's right, they have no self-awareness. But I think the main thing is because they're used to media that helps them call it even. So they're used to television and honestly even newspapers saying, well, Democrats say it was a bad bill, but Republicans say it was a terrific bill. And so there you go, there's the two perspectives, it's 50-50. But the people don't think that. Their search results show that no, they are reading the articles that show you why it's disastrous. Those articles are proving more successful. Because why? It's not just because people believe that already. It's because they provide information that was useful to people. That is why they moved up the search query. And when you have real information, it shows you that it's a disaster. And so there's the Republicans going, why won't Google fix it to make us look like we're just as right like we do with the rest of the media? So we're like, they've intimidated the rest of the media by calling them liberals, so they invited the CEO of Google to yell at him and say, why don't you be even? Okay, are you liberal media? He's like, look man, it's the people that decide. It has nothing to do with me. It's an algorithm that is powered by the factors that people who search put into it, right? That actually do the searches. And he's like, I don't like that the people don't like us. Make them like us, Google.
Okay. So, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We could literally do the entire 2-hour show on this. But I'm gonna give you a few more examples of how ridiculous this whole hearing was. Representative Louie Gohmert, he never fails to embarrass himself and the American people. He said he was frustrated that he couldn't edit his own Wikipedia page after ranting that the Southern Poverty Law Center stirs up hate.
They actually track hate groups, they do the opposite. And Google, again, is not Wikipedia.
And you shouldn't be able to edit your own Wikipedia page, because then Wikipedia would be completely worthless. Because look, if I could edit my own Wikipedia page, it would be the most glowing Wikipedia page of all time, right? I'm glad that I can't do that, because people who do look at that should get a real, you know, view of who I am, what I've accomplished, whatever it is.
It's the same thing. Why won't Google fix things, rig things on behalf of Republicans like the rest of the media does? Because it's not how it works. And again, Wikipedia is not Google. By the way, you know, we made fun of Steve King there for holding up his iPhone. He was one of three congressmen that did likewise. Mm-hmm. Representative Ted Poe and Representative Tom Marino, both Republicans as well, all referenced their iPhone. We're like, why don't you fix my iPhone?
No, it's just
total idiots.
Okay, so finally, look, Democrats were guilty of embarrassing themselves as well. In fact, we have Representative Steve Cohen, and here's what he had to say. On the other side of the aisle, Representative Cohen wanted to know why his appearances on MSNBC weren't bigger hits on the search engine. Here's his exact quote. He says, "It's hard for me to fathom being on MSNBC for like 8 minutes each show, four times, and there's more content on Breitbart News than MSNBC. If you'd let me know that about that, I'd appreciate it." No, well, they live in an alternate universe. It's kind of amazing.
By the way, Steve Cohen's a good guy on policy, and he's an interesting cat.
Sure.
And but Steve, if you want, or Congressman Cohen, if you want to be higher in the search engine, you should go on the Young Turks, not MSNBC. That'll solve it. They just don't. I mean, they're like, why won't TV work as well as it used to?
No one watches MSNBC. I mean, people do, but it's a completely different audience online. People who consume online news and are loyal to online news are not rushing home to watch whatever, whoever's on.
Some random politician that's on MSNBC or CNN. So, and that's why politicians are mad. I'm telling you, they're used to rigging the media on their behalf. Well, television features us. Why won't Google feature us?
It's amazing.
Because you're not that interesting. And although, to be fair, if you knew Steve Cohen, he's probably the most interesting guy in Congress. But even so, look, dry politicians don't make for interesting content that does well on Google. Sad day for you guys. But congratulations to Steve King and the others, because this was not dry. They were so stupid that this will do really well online. Congrats.
Finally, I do want to bring up the one voice of reason that made headlines, and that was Congressman Ted Lieu. He's from Torrance, California, and he had something very important to say. Take a look.
So I'm going to search for Congressman Steve King. I'm going to hit the news tab. First article that pops up is from ABC News. It says, Steve King's racist immigration talk prompts calls for congressional censure. That's a negative article. But you don't have a group of people at Google sitting there thinking and trying to modify search results every time Steve King comes up, a negative article appears. That's not what's happening. Let me just conclude here by stating the obvious. If you want positive search results, do positive things. If you don't want negative search results, don't do negative things. And to some of my colleagues across the aisle, if you're getting bad press articles and bad search results, don't blame Google or Facebook or Twitter. Consider blaming yourself.
There you go. Finally, a US congressman that understands how the internet works. And look, we're out of time, so I'm going to save one more story for the post game where we do members only content about why Steve Bannon would have been particularly driven crazy by the hearings today, which is awesome, and I can't wait to tell you guys. TYT.com/join to become a member, and we'll tell you that story.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the shooting that happened in France yesterday and how Trump has responded to it. And later on in the show, what North Korea has been doing here in the United States that Trump probably doesn't want you to know about.
All right, back on the Young Turks. We got a whole bunch of comments that I love. I want to read them to you. Member section first, as always. Chris Durant says, gotta love that Republicans get triggered by search algorithms now. They call us snowflakes, but their team is rapidly approaching blizzard status. Nick Danger says, another reason why Republicans are accusing Google of bias is because it's probably something they, the Republicans, would do if they...
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, The host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
For Google. Oh, 1,000,000,000% right. If they ran Google, you have any idea how quickly they'd rig it? But they'd rig it into the ground that nobody would use it, right?
Yeah, and look, I want to be fair to our lawmakers because it's tough to adapt to a rapidly changing technological landscape, right? Especially when you're busy, you know, soliciting money from your donors all day. I mean, what you just don't have time. You don't have time to adapt to the internet.
That's right, because they're on an old phone for 5 hours, 5-6 hours a day calling for money. Opinionated says, it looks like the Republicans are upset that they can't rig Google like they rig elections. In fact, we've got the North Carolina story coming up in a little bit. Progressive Todd says, Republicans, why don't you fix public opinion? Basically, that is what they're asking Google to do. Art Murray 1 answers my question, what would we have in 2020 without progressive media? Cory Booker. So, dyd.com/join to make sure that that's not the world we live in. And Melly Bish says, are these Republicans going to pay for the surgery I need now to remove my hand from my forehead?
Okay. I was like, oh no, this is going to be devastating. I'm really happy it was a joke.
Okay, so that's on Twitter. And finally, YouTube Super Chat, which is part of Google. I wonder why they moved these comments up. Anyway, Space Monkey Mafia says, been a fan for 8 years. I discovered you guys looking for a Rod Stewart song. Can't be the only ones. Can't be the only one. Always remember, don't ever let them put you down. Don't let them push you around. Don't let them ever change your point of view. Well, isn't that fitting? But Google, when you search Young Turks, why does Rod Stewart come up? Why are you rigging the internet against us?
You know, I always knew that Rod Stewart had a song called Young Turk or Young Turks.
Young Turks.
But I didn't realize it was one of my favorite songs. The one that goes, young hearts be free tonight. Do 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 do. Such a great song.
All right. And bring it down.
Okay,
bring it
down.
And last one. Shuyun 1111 writes in, if you were a superhero, which universe would you be in, like Marvel or DC, and what superpower would you have? Okay, that is too long a question, but bless your heart, I love that question. Let's do it in the postgame. Okay, so for the members, tyt.com/join, become a member, and here are our answer to that. I was in an old last week's old school episode, I was having a little bit of fun with people who say that they have superpowers, like my superpower is pushing paper around. Okay, we'll talk about what superpower we'd like to have. We always try to give extra for the members. And by the way, speaking of that, you guys can name things around the studio. So this is part of our membership drive, which is going to end at the end of the year. So in other drives that we've done, people have named things around the studio, including the camera I'm looking at. Anna's chair was named by Jeff, right? Here we go. Yeah, Jeff Manzer named it in an earlier drive. This is the Nick Wilde chair, the one that I sit on. So tyt.com/amplify, if you give $2,500 or more, you greatly help the show. We turn it into memberships and give it to people in the media or in journalism schools, etc. And you get to name stuff in the studio, and you go on the donor wall in the Young Turk studio. So it, as small as naming my mic, the tiny little mic on my jacket. So that's $2,500. It's not like it's worth $2,500, although with equipment these days maybe. But it's obviously to help the show, home of progressives, independent media, plus get our message out. Plus it's fun to have my mic named after you, okay? So, and then there's giant ones like I think for $50K you could name the whole universe. No, the studio. And so the Young Turk studio would be named after you. TYT.com/amplify. Let's have some fun. Okay? All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. There was a tragic shooting in France yesterday, and unfortunately that shooting is now being exploited by our president, Donald Trump, for political purposes. But to give you the updates on what occurred and what's currently happening, police and soldiers are still looking for the perpetrator. He's a suspected extremist who sprayed gunfire near one of Europe's most famous Christmas markets, killing 3 and wounding at least 13 in the eastern city of Strasbourg. Now, 8 of those injured are said to be in critical condition. Also, police union officials identified the suspect as Sharif Chikat, a 29-year-old with a thick police record for crimes, including armed robbery. So he has a record in several countries. In fact, the suspect had 27 criminal convictions in France, Germany, and Switzerland. And it is said that he was radicalized while he was behind bars. He is a French-born citizen, so this is not someone who immigrated to France. But with that said, he did commit crimes in various European countries. He was convicted of robbery in Germany in 2016 and sentenced to 2 years and 3 months in prison for breaking into a dental practice and a pharmacy in 2 German towns. The man had also been radicalized in prison and had been monitored by French intelligence services since his release from jail in late 2015 because of his suspected religious extremism. Reports also indicate that police were looking to arrest him on the morning of this shooting and were unable to do so. And he unfortunately carried out this act of violence later.
Yes, and so couple things here. I want to be clear. He is born in France, as Anna said, but his parents, if you go all the way back, are, in fact, I don't even know if it's his parents, but his family, if you go all the way back, has Moroccan roots. And so, look, if you're unfamiliar with the ethnic background of folks in France, there's, yes, a lot of folks that were born in France that whose family originally came from other places, including North Africa. For example, one of the most famous French people alive, Zinedine Zidane, arguably the best football player in the world for quite some time. And so when it's Zinedine Zidane, of course, everybody is proud, right? And in a situation like this, people are, of course, horrified. But to generalize on only this news obviously would be preposterous, which is why, of course, not only all the right wing, but our president is doing that as well.
Right, so let's get to that. In response to the shooting, Donald Trump decided to exploit it as a way to push for the $5 billion he demands to fund his border wall. He says another very bad terror attack in France. Let's just stop right there. The French police are being very careful in how they are characterizing this attack. They say potential terror attack. They still don't know what the motive is. Now, of course, people are gonna speculate that it's a terror attack. Obviously, Trump is doing that here. But again, I mean, as the president of the United States, you should be a leader and just hold for a second until it's confirmed as a terror attack. I mean, it's different to be a commentator or someone who does news analysis. It's another thing to be a leader of a country like the United States. But anyway, of course, he's gonna call it a terror attack right off the bat because it's gonna serve his purposes. He also says, we're going to strengthen our borders even more. Chuck and Nancy must give us the votes to get additional border security. But this attack was not a result of an immigrant coming into France and carrying out an act of violence. He was born in France. This has nothing to do with immigration. Now, it has a lot to do with how people get radicalized. Clearly, he was radicalized while he was behind bars, which completely defeats the purpose of putting people in prison. But that's not something that's convenient for Trump. It's not gonna help him with his political narrative. So he's gonna go ahead and make this about immigration.
Yeah, look, if you try to find rational reasons for the shooting so that you could prevent further shootings, that's a super legitimate conversation. So there are a couple of different avenues there. This guy was arrested 26 different times before this, and not having nothing to do with terrorism, armed robbery. There's robberies in Switzerland, Germany, France. He's a lifelong criminal. Now, when right-wing terror attacks happen in the United States, every time, not only the right wing, but the media jump in and go, lone wolf, just a crazy guy, right? Now, I got news for you. People go and shoot people in markets are all crazy guys. So this guy was a bad guy for a long time, or there's a common criminal in France. And now he apparently got, became more extreme in prison and then did this. So if you want to look at his criminal track record and what led to that, that's a fair question. By the way, you can go liberal or conservative. Hey, did he get radicalized in prison and hence they didn't do a good enough job of rehabilitation in France as they do in Norway? That's an interesting question. But also an interesting question if you're a conservative is, hey, he served about 4 years in prison. 26 robberies and he only served 4 years in prison. It's a legitimate question because you're actually talking about the root causes of what happened here. He used a gun. So, you know, what are the laws in France related to how easy or difficult it is to get guns? You can make legitimate arguments on both sides, I guess. I think that, you know, of course, in America, it's super easy to get a gun. It's probably much harder in France. So that's an interesting conversation. And finally, the religious extremism is also an interesting conversation, saying, hey, how can we prevent radicalization? Mm-hmm. And so I would join you in that conversation and in that effort, because no one wants radical religious extremists in any direction, right? But if you just take the one element that Trump's talking about, his ancestors at some point were immigrants. By the way, so was yours. Your mom was an immigrant, Donald Trump, right? So, and then go, aha, that's it. I found it. He's the other, the other. Well, that means you're not trying to solve the root cause of the problem. As usual, you're using it for demagoguery to drive hate, which is ironically what the terrorists wanted to do.
And Trump also likes to take world events and purposely misinterpret them or twist them to, you know, basically puff up his own ego. And I'll give you another example of that from this week. So the Yellow Vest demonstrations in France. Now that was a protest not just about the fuel tax, although the fuel tax was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was about economic inequality and injustice. Now you have Emmanuel Macron repealing the wealth tax and then implementing regressive taxation that disproportionately negatively impacts the middle class and the working class. So that's really the heart of that protest. And Donald Trump instead comes out and makes it about him and says, no, the people of France want me. So in response to the Yellow Vest protest, Trump tweeted, falsely claiming that thousands of citizens had taken to the streets to say no to the Paris Climate Agreement of 2015, and in doing so, to honor Trump.
Yeah, that's why they riot in France. They're like, we are not honoring Donald Trump enough. Oh, come, who could possibly believe that?
Trump believes it. It's insane. Yeah. He even tweeted that they were chanting, we want Trump, and that he loves France.
By the way, think about that. So so those riots are interesting and disconcerting in a lot of ways. And of course, the real reason for it is people rebelling against neoliberal principles of trickle-down economics and the wealth inequality. And the French rush to the barricades a little quicker than we do, which, you know, has a significant upside and obviously has downsides. But you should be concerned because there's things that are being burned and there's rocks being thrown and it's just—
There was looting.
Looting,
yeah.
It's a deeply concerning situation. Donald Trump looks at that and doesn't say, oh, that's rioting, that's bad. Oh, there's concerns about security. He looks at it and goes, they honor Trump. Me like riots. Me like riots when they say Trump. It's me. Who even takes credit for that? I mean, what a crazy thing to take credit for. That's the maniac we have in office. So us even trying to ascertain why he tweets about a terror attack or a potential terror attack in France is preposterous. He's irrelevant. He's a buffoon of the highest order. So lastly, on again root causes and how bad things are in this country, France sent 350 officers to try to track down the shooter. And this is, it gotten international attention because my God, original reports were that 3 were dead and 13 were killed. Now some are saying that 2 are dead and 1 is in a vegetative state. But let's say 3 dead, okay? That's a huge international story. Do you know how many times we've had a shooting in America this year with at least 3 killed? 46 times.
Wow.
Just this year, okay? So for us, that's just Tuesday. because in Europe, where they have much tighter gun control, it's a shocking news story, a massacre of that magnitude. Here in America, we're like, oh yeah, it's another massacre. No big deal, let's just move on. That's number 46, and tomorrow will be number 47, mm-hmm. And on we go. And then we talk about terrorism.
That's such a great point. Yeah.
We terrorize ourselves with this insane gun laws that allows for endless massacres. So France, we feel your pain. I hope you feel our pain. We have got to get our corrupt politicians out. We should be not rioting, but protesting a lot more in this country, because it's not just the wealth inequality. These kind of things, aided and abetted by corruption, are literally killing us here in America.
We got to take a break. When we come back, Mike Pompeo gets held accountable by people that you would least expect, and it was fantastic.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back on the Young Turks. Jen Nisley Clark from Toledo, Ohio, just gave to the Amplify program. Thank you, Jen. Super appreciated. TYT.com/amplify, obviously, to amplify our voice to students and to people in the media. Gabby Marie. At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Frida writes in the member section, people who say they would commit a shooting on Fifth Avenue are also crazy. Good point, Gabby. Benjamin writes in, Sarah Sanders needs to be on the Amplify program. Really, really needs one. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought. You guys have given Amplify to Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. So maybe Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Story that didn't make it to the rundown today. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was being interviewed and she was asked, what do you want your legacy to be? And she said something about how she's hoping that she'll be known for her honesty and transparency.
Oh, come on.
I'm not even kidding. She said that.
That's hilarious. Okay. Alex writes in, I didn't know Honduran terrorists were sneaking into France through Mexico to commit acts of terrorism. And Kim says, a shooting in France and somehow he brings it back to the wall. He's so desperate to get a $5 billion Band-Aid that will not work. Pelosi and Schumer sat with him, told him no, and now he will shut down the government. And now the riots are about him too. Can we all say narcissist? So yes, that's certainly true. You know, I re-watched the Pelosi Schumer thing, and I think I was a little too hard on him yesterday. Pelosi and Schumer did do a good job of provoking Donald Trump, and at the end, he basically got him to say, I did order the code red. It will be a Trump shutdown, which is what they wanted to accomplish. I don't like their body language. I would be more aggressive, but I hear you guys that not everybody needs to be that aggressive. And they did basically accomplish the mission. So
I don't know. Maybe we're too aggressive. Maybe we do need to tone it down. Maybe it's counterproductive.
Not buying it at all.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, if you like aggressive progressives, well, we have a show named that. You should check that out in membership too. TYT.com/. You know what? Let's be fair. /Jimmy, who's the host of Aggressive Progressive, and he's now in fourth place in the competition. So let's give him a shout out for that. And on there you go. And on Twitter, Squeninji says, I'm half tempted to buy Jenks mic and insist they use the name Noam Chomsky. Okay, first of all, we would. You could name it. Yes, we would call it the Noam Chomsky mic. And we're not playing. Then we got the Steve Perlow conference room upstairs, etc. And yes, that was Steve Perillo who bought it. But on the donor wall from when we built the studio are a bunch of names that are not their names. They just wanted to do it in honor of someone like Jill Pike or my kids or Istanbul Turkey. Okay, and other folks. Anyway, and I'd be proud to wear the Noam Chomsky mic. That'd be great. Last one, left is best is from YouTube Super Chat. Greetings from down under, Trump's days are numbered. I just hope all GOP puppets who've supported him get what's coming their way. All right, well, we got a lot more for you guys. What's next, Anna? All right.
Both Democrats and Republicans in Congress are outraged at the White House's response to the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Now, it's abundantly clear that the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, is the individual who ordered for the murder of Khashoggi. And earlier this week, we learned of the transcript of his murder and what his final words were and how he was essentially screaming that he couldn't breathe. Now, with all that said, Mike Pompeo, who is Secretary of the State, goes on Fox and Friends thinking that he's gonna get a softball interview, because let's face it, we all would think that he'd get a softball interview, but they actually asked him some tough questions. Take a look.
We're gonna say to the House what we've said to the American people. President Trump's made very clear. The murder of Jamal Khashoggi was a tragic incident. It was heinous. It's not something that America approves of. We've already held a number of individuals accountable by putting sanctions on them. Those that we have evidence were directly involved. We'll continue to develop the facts, but America has an important ally in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Oh yeah, that murder was heinous, all right. It was heinous with heinous Mohammed bin Salman behind it.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So look, but so Mike Pompeo is a bad guy and he's doing a bad guy's job. And his, but like bottom line is Donald Trump said, we're gonna let him get away with it. So yeah. I don't really know what his Secretary of State's supposed to do. Now that's the second time we've screwed up his title, Secretary of State. You said Secretary of the State, which I liked.
Oh, I did.
I liked
that. I didn't
even
realize I said that. Sorry.
Because it's because of two things. One, it makes it sound like it's enemy of the state.
And second of all,
you like to add this. Maybe it's your immigrant roots.
It's the Game of the Throne.
Yeah, exactly, the Game of the Thrones. That was hilarious when we did that review. Now my dad does that because in Turkish there is no the. So they're perplexed by the, and so they add it everywhere. This is my the son, the Cenk.
Yes. Okay. Now we're setting up the story for you. It starts off with Pompeo, you know, pretending as if he's very concerned about the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. But now all of a sudden, Brian Kilmeade jumps in, and here's what he has to say, and just check out Pompeo's response to it.
But Mr. Secretary, they're the ones who are putting it in peril, not us. They're the ones who have evidently pulled this off. And when you have people like Lindsey Graham, hardly an enemy of the White House, and Bob Corker and others said this is a smoking saw, not a smoking gun. And you even have audio tapes. We know the prince knows, right? You know, you looked him in the eye. You know that he knows.
I've spoken to the king, King Salman. I've spoken to the crown prince a number of times since the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. And it is absolutely America's intent to hold everyone accountable who was responsible for this.
So that's yes? When you looked him in the eye and he denied it, did you believe him?
The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia decides who's running the country. I think this is what the president said yesterday. We are working closely with the kingdom to make sure that America is protected. That's our interest.
No, but no one's having a conversation about, oh, let's go to Saudi Arabia and change who their leaders are. Like, he totally avoided the question.
I think what he was trying to say there is, look, we're gonna work with Saudi Arabia no matter what.
That's exactly what he's saying.
And he's like, that's in our interest. Now, would we prefer that it was a different leader that was not as ill-tempered and as murderous as bin Salman? Maybe, right? But at the end of the day, we don't really care. So we can't make them change the crown prince, and we're gonna work with Saudi Arabia. So sad day, I don't care that he killed anyone. The part that I'm both amused and sickened by is the smirk on Pompeo's face.
Yes.
I'm amused because he's like, I know I'm lying. What do you want me to do? Of course he did it. What do you want me to say? On the other hand, like, okay, that's the funny part. The sickening part is, They beheaded the guy and they chopped him up into pieces and carried him out in luggage. And they dismembered him with a bone saw. So could you please stop smirking?
Yeah, I feel like that smirk, even though it's disgusting, it's it shows how uncomfortable he is. And to answer your question from earlier, Cenk, like, well, what is he gonna do? I mean, this is what Trump wants. Trump wants to continue doing business with the Saudis. Excuse me. You know what you can do? If you have a conscience, I know it's tough. Like, if you want success and you want power, this is a very difficult thing to do. You decide you don't want to be Secretary of State anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And I get that people don't want to do that because it's a power grab. It's this obsession with, you know, political success, and being Secretary of State is a big deal. But do you really want to be known for this? Do you really want to be known for helping Trump push his narrative regarding how important Saudi Arabia is for financial reasons?
Yeah, and so it is, of course, it's a great point. And by the way, a lot of people have left the Trump administration. Some were fired, but some left because they couldn't take it anymore. In fact, I think he has 62% of his staff has already turned over in 2 years. That's unbelievable. That's a shocking, ridiculous number, because a lot of people couldn't stomach this. And so Pompeo has made his bed, and he's decided that I'm going to do Bonesaw Salmon's bidding because Donald Trump told me to. And I like power too much to give it up. So I'm now going to do cover-ups for fundamentalist Muslims who dismember people. Okay, so that's the bed you're lying in.
One more clip from this interaction with Pompeo.
The CIA says that they're highly confident that the Saudi crown prince did order the murder of Khashoggi.
Yeah, some of the reporting that you've seen on that has been inaccurate.
Is that part? Is that inaccurate?
Look, we all know that they're still working on this. This is still a developing set of facts with respect to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. The intelligence community is working diligently on that. The direct evidence, this is what I've said before, the direct evidence isn't yet available. It may show up tomorrow. It may have shown up overnight, and I haven't seen it. But
someone
President
has to
Trump
pay the price, though.
President
it's so
Trump,
brutal. Apparently, those audio tapes are awful.
The Saudis have already paid the price. There are the folks who actually committed the murder. We've held accountable. We will continue to do that. No one underestimates how horrible this murder was. But remember, Iran is running rampant throughout the Middle East. The death of any one individual is awful. The death of hundreds of thousands of people in Europe or the Middle East or the United States matters an awful lot. And President Trump is committed to protecting America.
So Pompeo's arguing that, well, Mohammed bin Salman didn't actually do the murder. He just ordered it, right? I mean, that's what he's implying there. So no big deal. So would he feel the same about, I don't know, drug cartel leaders? I mean, if they're ordering the murders and they're not actually carrying it out themselves, do we really want to go after the people ordering the murder? I mean, what a it's such a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, so I'm going to say something totally unexpected, which is give credit to Brian Kilmeade, because he actually did a really great thing there. Other than holding him accountable three different times in that interview, at the end there, he said, you know, we disagree with some portions or some of the reporting on that has not been accurate. And Kilmeade did a good follow-up question there of saying, but wait, when they said they have a high confidence that bin Salman ordered it, was that part inaccurate? And of course, Pompeo didn't answer it, and he went right past it, and then went, yeah, okay, Saudi Arabia's terrible, but Iran's worse. Remember how much we're fear-mongering we're doing around Iran. And finally, the idea that we've already punished the Saudis is, again, sickening, yet hilarious. I mean, it's a sick joke. So what do? We did sanctions against the 17 people that we believe were on the assassination team. They're low-level guys in Saudi Arabia, and now they will not be able to allow to enter the United States again. Wow, we made the bold move of not allowing known assassins into the country. Well, I didn't know you guys were gonna be that bold. Okay. So that's who these guys are.
Yeah, well, credit to Fox and Friends for that one segment. That segment was pretty good. All right, moving on. World leaders have gathered at the UN Climate Conference, and the whole point of this conference is, of course, to talk about ways to combat climate change, ways to reduce carbon emissions, and come up with various timelines in doing so. Now, the United States has decided to send someone to essentially push the types of policies that Trump would be in favor of. In fact, his energy advisor, a man by the name of Wells Griffith, spoke during one of the panels, and it was embarrassing not only for him, but also for America. Take a look.
We strongly believe that no country should have to sacrifice economic prosperity or energy security in pursuit of environmental sustainability. The United States is now the number one combined oil and gas producer in the world. If we are serious about eradicating poverty and providing universal access to affordable, reliable energy, it is clear that energy innovation and fossil fuels will continue to play a leading role. Energy access.
Yeah, so that happened.
Yeah, we were laughed at on the international stage, and rightfully so. I mean, the idea that you go to a climate change panel and you talk about how awesome fossil fuels are, that's a big F you to the whole planet. I mean, somebody asked later, look, there's climate scientists all across the world, they all agree we have about 12 years left before catastrophe hits. So for the entire planet, if we had a meteor, for example, that was gonna hit the planet in 12 years, and every scientist in the world agreed that it was gonna hit, would we be like, who cares, let's not do anything about it? And that's in essence what America is doing. In fact, they're celebrating the demise of the planet by saying, yeah, but I'm still making money off of it.
It's interesting how you should juxtapose the response by the United States and the response by China, because around 45% of carbon emissions come from those two countries, from the United States and China. Now, where the United States is so hyper focused on protecting the oil and gas industry, China has actually seen climate change and efforts to save the environment as an economic opportunity. So they have focused on, you know, developing solar panels. They have been a lot more serious than the United States when it comes to combating climate change. But look, the reason why I bring that up is because it doesn't have to be this huge economic burden to do something about carbon emissions, right? There is an economic opportunity there with renewable energies. It's just that our fossil fuel industry and the people who run the fossil fuel industry are too lazy and unwilling to adapt to a changing time and to different technology.
And too greedy.
Too greedy, yes.
And so, look, to further what Anna's saying, coal jobs in this country are now about 76,000, that's about it. And whereas solar panel jobs are over 360,000 jobs. So there's actually bigger economic benefit in creating solar jobs in the country. But the coal companies and the oil companies and the gas companies that own our politicians and donate to people like Donald Trump and the Republican Party, they don't care about how well solar is doing or how many jobs it's creating. They just care about me. I want the money now. If the planet melts later, that's not my problem, although it is, and they, you know, mm-hmm. But they're infinite greed. They're like the dwarves in Lord of the Rings. They keep digging until they hit the Balrog. And so in actually, to finish my analogy from earlier, because apparently I'm full of analogies, with the meteor going to hit in 12 years, that was basically a pro-meteor speech.
That's right.
Could you imagine? Like, the planet's going to be destroyed by a meteor, and we get up and we go, yes, but there are like 10 or 20 oil executives in America that would profit from the meteor today, so we are in favor of the meteor. People are like, what are you saying? You're insane. And they are. They're driven insane by their greed.
Now, after the laughter at what Trump's energy advisor had to say, the crowd actually decided to chant, and I wanted to show you a little of that.
We hold the solutions, and we know that we must keep it in the ground. I said, keep it in the ground, keep it in the ground, keep it in the ground, keep it in the ground. The farmers have been mined, drilled, fracked, and poisoned.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, look, the guy's sitting up there like, yeah, what am I going to do? I mean, he knows they're right, right?
Right. And he's uncomfortable, which I'm enjoying. But yeah. I also want to give credit to those who participated in the chant, because they got me moving a little bit. I'm like, yeah, keep it in the ground. Keep it in the ground. Like they know how to get the message across. That was good. That was good.
By the way, they did that for about 10 minutes, which seems like a long time, and then they left. So like in America, they would have been like, immediately baton them, pepper spray them.
That's true.
Right? Yep. Destroy them, crack their skulls. This chanting must immediately be ended. ExxonMobil has ordered it, right? And what do they do? Okay, there's protesters in Europe. They let them protest, and then it's over.
And then it's over. And then after they left, the pro-fossil fuel propaganda continued. Let's go to graphic 12 real quick. Administration officials continued with their pitch for carbon capture technologies to clean up coal, hydraulic fracking to unearth gas, and a new generation of nuclear energy plants.
And Dr. Evil. Like just because they couldn't add anything more in the dirty fuels category. So there's some reports that some of the people in the State Department are still quietly working on regulations that would help if there were to be another administration in 2020 that changed their minds. Okay, so to those quiet heroes, we appreciate that you went over to the conference and are at least working behind the scenes. And of course, when Donald Trump hears that, he will fire the entire State Department.
Yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, I am going to tell you about the various countries that are successfully hacking into our hotels, our private insurance companies, and what the Trump administration isn't doing about it.
Okay, and one more thing before we go, guys. There's a great episode of Rebel Headquarters tonight. Well, come on, let's keep it real. Every episode's great. But I've got a presidential candidate and one you might recognize. And I have the founders of Indivisible. It's going to be an amazing show. And if you miss it for any reason, again, if you have Young Turks membership, you get all of our shows. You could download them or stream them either way. So tyt.com/join and become a member. All right, we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of the Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/tyt. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.